Praise the name of the Lord. I must say, it's really good to have this inbuilt orchestra we have down here. Tatu and Charlie and Reef. And that was the was playing in the piano. To feel the presence of the Holy Spirit is really something. It's an uplift. And I'm glad that the scripture mentions about instruments in heaven. Played right under the right time, it is a soul-uplifting experience. And it's really good. Shall we pray while we remain seated for the folks that may well be coming? Precious, precious, holy Jesus. We meet in your name, Lord, to honor you, to praise you, acknowledge Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, for all of the things that you've done for us, caused us to be your sons and daughters, because we know the word says that you chose us. We didn't choose you until we knew what you'd done for us, and we agreed we want to be part of the family of God. Lord, we just ask a special blessing to those people overseas that listen in on the internet. And Lord, I just remember at this time, Sister Gloria Howard, Lord, who will be listening, she didn't realize that we had this and that she's going to listen each time, Lord, each week for the service. And she's also going to tell Brother Ken Walker there in Auckland, both of them, elderly people, they keep in touch with one another, but they can't always go to the services because of distance and circumstances, but they're going to listen in for here. Bless them, Lord, and bless those whom they meet. Lord, anyone else that wants to listen in, we pray that they will be blessed when they listen in. I think at this time in Whakatane for Brian and his wife Wanda, Lord, just bless them when they listen in on these services. And Lord, may they come and be a part of our service, just to come and meet us as they want to at some stage when it's we're able to do it. Bless the people, Lord, that aren't here yet, and those that could have come and didn't. Lord, undertake for them wherever they are. We thank you, Lord, most of all, for your presence, the Holy Spirit. May it bless us, because we're tuning in to what you have to say to us. Amen. I suppose that you, most of you, are aware that Brother Hookie, our brother in the Lord, died a couple of days ago for because of a stroke. But he knows the Lord, and he used to come to church a number of times. So may the Lord bless his family. We'll be praying a little later. Okay, well, shall we stand and sing If You Know the Lord, number 476. If you know the Lord, you need no you are. Amen. How many people never see it, never realize that the answer to their need is the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's so easy to contact Him. Shall we sing 781? This world is not my home. It isn't, is it? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the moon. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, seems to change all the time for the worst, but we've got something coming that's for the best. We know that's going to happen. Let's sing one more here at the moment. The Church's One Foundation, number 384, and then we'll have Brother Charlie with his
The Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. He is every creation, by water and the word.
seated. Except Brother Charlie. Good to see Brother Chris here and his good lady. Lord bless you. And who has? Chris. Ah, got a song. Well, we'll have you shortly after we've had poor Sister Pauline. It's good to honor the Lord in music.
Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. God says to us to worship Him, to give Him praise and all the glory. For He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Jesus. My portion in this life, and You are so good and so kind, and I love You. Yes, I love You. And I love You, my delight, Jesus. You are my portion in this life. And You are so good and so kind, and I love You. Yes, I love You, and I love
good to hear Brother Charlie sing. I could just feel the blessings on it, the Holy Spirit there. And if you go along with the tune and just be with Him in spirit, it lifts you. We must be a part of it. The same with the Pauline and Diane when they sing. And it's all good to know that the Lord's watching on. And also just remember the Sister Gloria Howard there in Auckland. Barbara and I were in Auckland this week, and we were with her for about an hour, and she didn't realize that we had this on the internet, and she said she definitely will be listening and coming in and being part of us, and she wished to be remembered to those who remember her. Sister Gloria Howard, how many remember her? Yes, you're a good friend of my mother's, and our two sisters, Cheryl and Merle and June, and so it goes on. But she wants to be part of us, and she's going to make sure that Brother Ken Walker knows about it. We couldn't get to be him. It wasn't possible. We didn't have time to do that. or where he was, but she will has a lot to do with him daily. She has to do with him. He rings her, and so they're in great communication. So we love those brethren. I told them we're going to pray for them again on Tuesday night, and I told her that I regularly pray for her, which I do, and for Brother Ken. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
Channel of your peace, where there is hatred, let me bring your love, where there is injury, your pardon, Lord, and where there's doubt, truth, faith in you. Despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Isn't pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, and to love as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. In pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Make me a channel of your peace.
It's very, very nice hymn that. I just love it. It just means so much. Brother Chris, you have an item. Come, my brother. Good to see you.
The song's called It's a Great Thing to Serve the Lord. It's almost like a prayer in a sense. And I know it'll be a blessing. It goes, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord, walking in the light of God. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord, walking in the light of God. We're gonna walk, 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 walking in the light. Walk, 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 walking in the light. Walk, 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 walking in the light. Walking in the light of God. It's a great thing. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. It's a great thing. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. We're gonna walk. We're gonna walk, 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 walking in the light. Walk, 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 walking in the light. Walk, 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 walking in the light. Walking in the light of God. It's a great thing. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Last time, it's a great thing. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God.
The truth of that one is walk, walk, walk. In other words, don't walk and stop. Don't do that. Walk, walk, walk. Keep on walking. Doesn't matter if you've got to climb over a fire or get caught up in a flood. Keep walking with the Lord. Let's sing one, "While You Remain Seated." Wide, wide is the ocean. And then we'll have some prayer requests. And I'll ask Brother Taz if he'd like to do that for us. Wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above. People on the internet, wherever you are, the Lord still loves you, following you, never leaves you alone. Keep on walking. They're all linking, all the songs, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit does the same. Praise His wonderful, glorious name. Well, on our prayer list we've got, please uphold before the Lord Sister Diane Warrington that God will grant her a speedy recovery from surgery this week. And Pauline tells me she will be home here tomorrow, Monday. And she's feeling a lot better. So that's good. That's answered prayer there. And please pray for Brother Hookey's family for the sudden passing of Brother Hookey into the presence of the Lord due to a stroke this week. May the Lord rest his soul. Please pray for Lee, L-E-E, not me, for healing from cancer. Sister Mari has put that in. I'm not sure who the person is, but she knows, and so does the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, please pray for my mother, Sister Erica, who suffers from very severe back pain and is therefore very limited in her everyday life. She also suffers from asthma. God bless and thank you for your prayers, Sister Rebecca from Germany. We continue to uphold Israel and all that it is doing, and the Lord be with Israel. Don't forget to thank our Lord for the answered prayers that he's done for us already. Thank you, Brother Taz. Good old Brother Taz. God bless you,
Brother. Our loving Father, Almighty God and Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord, we just come and bow before you. Sovereign God, full of mercy and grace, the all-powerful God, nothing is impossible to you. You are the God of the universe. You are the God who holds the whole of your creation and your creatures in the palm of your hand. Nothing happens, Father, apart from your good and perfect will, plan, and purpose. And that's why, oh God, again, we can trust you. We can trust you, Lord, no matter what we may be going through. No matter what comes our way. Lord, we can trust that there is a divine purpose. Even behind suffering, there is a purpose. Lord, the church in Smyrna in the book of Revelation, they were the only church basically where you had nothing to challenge them about. They were what appeared to be a good and perfect church, so to speak. And the reason for that was because they were under persecution. They were being persecuted. They were being imprisoned. They were being martyred. And that's why, Lord, they were a powerful church. Lord, how we need revival. Yes, we do. But Lord, I'm more than convinced that revival will come to your people. Lord, when we prepare ourselves and accept and walk in persecution, execution, the challenges of life, no matter what they may be, Lord, that we can trust you. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. And Lord God, you will use whatever means is needed, oh God, to prepare us for the glory that is awaiting us in Christ Jesus, the glorification of the saints, the glorification of these bodies that give us problems and radu-radus. But Lord, when those things come upon us, you remind us to look forward. Lord, when mortality will put on immortality, corruption will put on incorruption, Lord, that is the witness and that is the reality that our brother Hookey has now experienced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our brother will be able to look at death and say, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your hope? That is the blessed hope that our brother has now stepped into, the reality that is now he's in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Notice, as usual, lunch straight after the service, 1 p.m. service this afternoon. All welcome. Encouraged to be there. 7 p.m. Tuesday, a prayer meeting. And now a change. On November, not next Saturday, but the next one, 28th, we'll have Chris's Pastor Albert Ruig and Bronwyn coming, and some of the fellowship will be coming here. That's the date at the moment, just to be confirmed. But so you can get ready. We were going to have on Saturday night, the 28th, they arrived. Saturday night, 7 p.m., all of you are going to be singing down here and bringing the odd item, even Brother Taz with his saxophone, I hope, and all the guitarists. And so it's a time of fellowship and uplift, encouragement. It's a lighter kind of a service on Saturday, 7 p.m. Invite whomsoever. Some people are scared to come to church, particularly this church sometimes. Tell them to come and enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the music. Enjoy each other. Let the Lord work on them. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. But you have to invite them, kids and all. Then on the 29th, there'll be Sunday as usual, the service as usual, when Brother Howard is preaching. And the other folks, hopefully, will be here on Sunday as well. So just to let you know all those things, shall we stand to our feet and sing number 10, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. That's a pretty good thing, that. Hurry up and wait, isn't it? Sing it unto the Lord.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, still in your own good time, you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord, renew mount up on wings as eagles, surround and not be weary, cannot wait. Teach me, Lord.
We'll sing one more and then Brother Howard will come. It's a chorus. Number 454, only to be what he wants me to be. Don't run ahead of the Lord and don't lag behind. Walk with him, but do it daily, every day.
Only to be what he wants me to be. Yeah.
You may be seated. And remember, for that weekend, 2 weeks away, if you've got an item or you'd like to get one practiced up and ready, it'll be a blessing to everybody.
And also, the 3 weeks away, I'm sure Sister Leah would like me to say, just remember to bring a bit more food maybe, because I think they're expecting about a dozen to be coming from Tauranga. So just a little bit extra to help out. That would be really wonderful. Thank you. Praise be to God. Yes, we remember Brother Hookie. He's a loving brother. Yeah, he used to hug me at the door. He just about crushed me. He just... It's just hooky, but he meant it. And he said he just loved to hear the word of God. And I know he's had his few little problems. Who doesn't? But I believe the blood of Jesus Christ atoned for Brother Hooky. We're believing for him. Look forward to meeting him again. Maybe sooner than we realize. The coming of the Lord is that close. We want to be ready. And another thing to think about. You just sit in these meetings and hear the word of God. The thing to remember, we need to be ready. You don't know when your card's going to be called from the rack. It's not your decision. I was telling a relation of mine yesterday, it's not our call, it's God's call. The Bible says to teach us to number our days. We don't know when God will call you. Hockey was happy and young, really. But God wanted him to come home. And so we need to be ready. It was an hour appointed for every one of you. A day has been appointed. You all have an appointment that you will meet. So we want to be ready. Right, Brother Bill? Amen. Good to see you here today too. Tony Ann. God bless you too. We saw you yesterday, didn't we? Yeah. All right. I wonder if we can stand for the reading of God's word from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 1, which says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor." Now that masters is your boss. Person you work for. "That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." So it's really important that you show respect to your boss. "And they that have believing masters," this is to the a Christian boss, "let him not despise them because they are brethren." They are believers working for you. "But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words," always arguing about silly things that we shouldn't be talking about, "whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and as certain, we can carry nothing out." Brother Hookie found that out yesterday. You're taking nothing. The only thing you can take is the Lord. You've got to have him in here. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yeah. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That is, thus saith the Lord. It's not talking about how much money you have. It's the love of it. Which while some covet after, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. What a wonderful reading that is. You want to read that when you go home. 1 Timothy 6. It's really a really good 1 to 12. And I also like to read one more scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 15, 16, which says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Do you know what that means? Shall I explain it? Just explain it. It's better to have a very little bit, maybe not much money in the bank. Don't have a lot, but it's better to have that with the fear of the Lord in your life than having great treasures and great riches and trouble therewith. May God bless us. Read. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, Righteous One, our Lord and our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Healer. We come to Thee this morning in godly reverence and fear because we love You. We don't want to hurt You and disappoint You, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that this morning You will open Your Word to our hearts afresh and make it live in our hearts, that when we leave this place and we go to our homes and to our workplaces, the Word of God will be on our hearts and we cannot escape it. Let it be, Lord, for Your glory. We ask this blessing in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak about a subject. It's taken from verse 6, what we had before Nancy, and 1 Timothy 6, which actually says this, that godliness, this is having it round the other way, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now I want to emphasize this. You want to know what great gain is? It's not getting money in the bank. Godliness with contentment, you're contented, is great gain. Isn't that wonderful? Great gain. You want to have great gain? Just have God in your life and be contented with what He's given you. And you'll be a very satisfied person. So that's our subject. May you people out there be blessed as well, encouraged. Because we all suffer the same problems, all of us. Doesn't matter what country we're in. We're all tempted with the same things. See, in the world, there's such unrest like never before. Total dissatisfaction and discontentment everywhere. No one's happy. Doesn't matter what you are, even in politics. Everyone's dissatisfied with the other guy, and he's dissatisfied with you. And you know, human rights, I want to say this, dominate society. You know, human rights, there's probably a good side to human rights as well, don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, there's a real spirit goes with it, and it's way out of balance. We know that, brothers and sisters. We're level-headed thinking people. Human rights is completely goes out of control. Now, I'm not preaching a political speech. I'm just telling you the facts. You've seen it. I've seen it. It's just so ridiculous. You've got to be political politically correct. You can't sneeze in the wrong way, or you can't say the wrong thing or use the wrong word. You're in trouble. But we're free in the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it dominates society and yields to selfishness. Human rights is all about, you know, from their point of view, it's me. I've got to be looked after. And it yields selfishness and discontentment and greed. That's what it does. Children. Sorry, kids. Oh, what was that? Children are discontent and have more than they have ever had. That is the truth. That's right. When I was a kid, I never had a little boat to play with. I had a block of wood with a nail in it, pulling on the drain at the back when it was raining. Is that right, Lee? You had one of those? Was that your boat? What I'm trying to say is they want this, they want that, they're never contented. You know, and you see them get all these toys and things, and it's just a big colour world. And I tell you what, I get confused. I find that all you do is trip over them. They're just really dangerous. Toys. And I'm not against toys. And there's a place for everything. What I'm saying is they've lost, that they don't even know what they haven't got. You know, they've got all this and they think they've got nothing. No one's looking after me. Oh, I better get off that subject. Families are discontent. Young people are not happy with home today. I might be touching on some things you might not have thought about, but you know that they want to go flatting. Now let me just say this: there's a place sometimes for that. We don't want to be all messed up in that. There is a place for that sometimes in circumstances where people have to go flatting for their job or out in another area somewhere. And it's a serious thing. They are discontent with a God-given family. You know, brother and sister, you don't realize how important the family is. You know, the people in politics on the left don't want the family. They want a messed up business. But God has a family. And God put us in families for our protection. And Satan breeds a dissatisfaction and discontentment. You know, a little girl might say, well, my brothers, I don't want my brothers. They're always telling me what to do. You know what? You don't realize your little brothers help to protect you from the wild guy outside. They sum him up right away. He's not worthy for my sister. Because they have a discernment. It's inbuilt. Instead of saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen, God has put us in families. He's given you a father and a mother. And he's given you brothers and sisters for a purpose, for your protection. Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to mention that. You know, we've got to learn to face our problems. Now, how do we get this discontentment? We get it through our peers and associates. Just take it easy. And get, you know, we just want to do what we want to do. It's all about self. Self will destroy you. Everyone listening? Self will destroy you if it's left unchecked. They say, you know, young people, I'm not against young people, I love them actually, very much. Well, if you can't face the problem you've got at home, just Take it easy and get out of there. And it's all over. Changing your location does not solve your problem. You take your problem with you. I must tell the story. I told it in Tucson, Arizona. These people went into a house, and it was a lovely house. They're very happy, and all of a sudden, it became a terrible smell in the house. And so they didn't know what it was. It was strange. So they cleaned everything, cleaned all the drains, cleaned all the toilets, you know how they do, cleaned everything up. And that's got rid of it. There it was. Came back next day, that terrible smell. And so they were very concerned about it. Until the wife was so worried, she thought maybe the sewers had broken underneath and was creating a terrible odor coming into the house. And so the wife, she was so upset about it, he said, look, the husband said, I'll tell you what, we'll shift. We'll move. And we'll go to another place. And we'll build a new house. Have a fresh start. So they did. So they moved into this new house. Everything was sweet and dandy for about a week. You know what happened? Brother Andrew, the smell came back. Hey, it was terrible. The smell was back again. And they really put through a test. To one day, they found out what the problem was. The smell was a plant. Just like one of these. Not like that one, but it was just a plant putting out a terrible smell. And they thought shifting to a new location, moving to a new location will get rid of this problem, the bad smell. No. You take your bad smell with you. Wherever you go, you've got to deal with the issue. You can't blame other people. Brothers and sisters, it's the truth. You've got to get down on your knees and say, Lord, what is this bad smell in my life? I'm not talking about a literal smell, but this problem that's causing issues, I just can't move around and go somewhere else. And that'll change everything. So I thought that was a very good parallel. You know, you've heard people say it's better to go to Australia. Not sure whether they're saying that right now, but I remember they used to say, oh, Aussie's the place. Get over the ditch. It'll be a lot better over there. Dissatisfied with New Zealand. I think the grass is greener over the ditch. True New Zealanders will stick with the problem and see it through. And so will true believers. When it comes to a problem in your life, face your spiritual problems with God. He'll take you to the end. It says this in Revelation, really spoke to me, Revelation 3:21. Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's to them that overcome. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brother and sister, had to overcome. And you are going to have to overcome. No escape. I'm going to have to overcome. The things that God is dealing with me about, I've got to be an overcomer. It's a characteristic of a child of God. You are an overcomer in the Lord Jesus, of course. He's the one that gives you the power, but you're going to lean on him. So the sign of maturity in people is to see them face the problem and not run from it. I don't want to be a chicken. I want to face the issue. Who believes that? We want to be wishbones. People are dissatisfied with what we have. Some blame the government for their financial burden. Oh, they blame the government for this, the government for that. I feel sorry for the government. I know sometimes they do some things that they shouldn't do. But in general, everything's blamed on the government, as if they can change everything. Government for their financial burden. Or they blame their employer. Or they even blame their wife. They do. They say that she's the problem, or they're the problem. Sorry, brothers and sisters, you can't do that. It's too late in the day. I remember Pastor Perry Green. Who knows Brother Perry Green? Front row. Good brother. He's preached here many times from the United States, Tucson, Arizona. And this is what he told us. He said 90% of all his interviews with many people at a big church, 90% of all interviews with Christians are financially connected. Now that's a good statement when you think about it. It causes more trouble than it's worth, but there's a secret to all this. Many times it is simply our bad management of our money. We spendthrifts, buy everything we want, everything we see. We can become dissatisfied. Remember, we're speaking about godliness with contentment. The opposite to contentment is being dissatisfied. It's being fed by a wrong spirit of discontentment and lust for other things. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money," the love of it, not money, "the love of money is the root, the foundation of all evil." Which while some covet after, "Oh, I've got to get this, I've got to get that. If I get better wages, if I get a better job," they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What from? The love of money. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." You see, brothers and sisters, you could be a pauper, a beggar on the streets of Calcutta with nothing in your purse, and still have this problem of a lust for money. It's nothing to do with how much you got in the bank. It's all to do with what's in your heart. Amen. If you're lusting after these things, you always want, "I've just got to get this, I want that, if I can't even be like the next door neighbors." Listen, you don't have to be rich. You can be poor, or as I said, a beggar in Calcutta, or whatever it may be, and still have this problem. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why do some people strive for these things? I'll tell you one reason. They are discontented. Isn't it amazing? Discontented. To be contented is one of the greatest possessions to have, but not all. It's good to be contented, but not all. That's only part of the equation. We're speaking about godliness with contentment. In Luke 12, 16, Jesus gave us this parable. It's a good one. All his parables are good. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying," that often you may not be blabbering it out to people, but it's in your heart. You're thinking about it all the time. What shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? My business is booming. I've got so much stock. What am I going to do? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. He wants to expand his business. I'll build greater ones, he said. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. This is what it does to you. It makes you sit back and relax. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, God speaking now, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that happened to Brother Hookie yesterday. He didn't know he was going to go. I'm not saying he was like this man. I'm just saying we don't know when God's going to call. He might call you this afternoon. Are you walking closer to God as you ought to be? And then he says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. No wonder about the rich man. It's a snare unto a rich man. Because it distracts you, takes your mind off things that are important. It was true he had physical contentment in the parable, but without godliness. So he had all his needs met, but without godliness, because he never gave consideration to God. You may be content with having money in the bank, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. It's not just gain, it's great gain, the Bible says. Now there's a striking similarity. I want you to think about this. I'm sure you have. There's a striking similarity between a rich man and a pauper. Whether they're a multi-billionaire or they just get the pension, they get a few bucks every week. There's a similarity between those two. They will both be buried in 6 foot of dirt. Regardless how rich you are, it's just 6 foot of dirt that you'll go down into, just like the others. You brought nothing into this world, Jesus said, and you're certainly going to take nothing out of it. Let's turn to Psalm 49. Thank you, Sister Mill. Psalm 49, verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich. Don't be afraid of him. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generations of his fathers. They shall never see light. Brothers and sisters, this is reality. This is thus saith the Lord. Listen carefully. A man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. He may have everything, but he lacks understanding. He doesn't know the Lord. To be walking with God and content with what you have and what you are in Christ Jesus is a great hidden treasure. Give me that any day. Who wants that? I just want to know the Lord. Take all my money, take everything. As Brother Taz said, when the persecution comes, maybe they will. The good test is $1 million versus true happiness, peace, and contentment when you lay down at night. It's good to have a good head on the pillow, isn't it? A good, relaxing head. I remember hearing this story. I'm going to read it to you. A poor cobbler was very poor. A poor cobbler was very poor. But he was very happy with his wife and his children. Every day he worked from dawn to dusk, singing with his happy song. Now living above his workshop was a rich man who worried daily about his gold. He had sleepless nights for worry, but was very impressed at the cobbler's song downstairs. He could hear him singing. While he was worrying, he could hear him singing. And one day, he traded the cobbler's song. He said, "You give me your song, and I'll give you a bag of gold." From that day onwards, there was a big change in the cobbler's heart and family. He hid the gold at the end of his bed, then under the pillow, and he became very paranoid. He started being suspicious of his wife, that she might have taken some, and suspicious of his family because of this gold he now had. One month after, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he went back to the rich man upstairs and he returned all the gold to the rich man to get back his song. Hallelujah. And he got his song back and he kept the gold. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Everything changed. His family was back to normal. He was happy. He was restored. In Psalm 96, verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Say, "Praise the Lord." He's worthy to be praised. That's the song we need. We need to worship him from our hearts, giving him glory every day, all day. To talk with God in the early morning, and to know that he loves you. Know that he's taken all your sins from you. That he has given you eternal life. I tell you what, brother and sister, that is more than $1 billion. Keep your $1 billion. Give me Christ. Give me salvation and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. Man found out. No good. Keep your gold. You can have it. I want my joy in the Lord. He promised to provide your every need and to be content is truly great gain. Great gain. Some are discontented with their position in life. I tell you what, the devil comes knocking with all this nonsense to you. They want to be somebody. It's a terrible thing to want to be somebody. They may even want to be used of God, which is honorable. But the best position for you and me is in the position that God has ordained for you. Remember that, my brother and sister. Just be in the position that God has ordained for you, and you can be a little sister. You don't have to be anybody great. Who wants to be great? Why do you want to be great when God's everything? He's the great one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the great one. And so we see, I love this quote. And I believe Brother Branham said this, it was really a blessing. Just be yourself and God will bless you. I tell you, I have thought that many times. Don't try and be somebody. Just be yourself and God will bless you. Paul made a wonderful statement. Let's turn to it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Which says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now at the last, your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. But that I speak in respect, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." This is what Paul learned. "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You know, if we could just get to that. Why is brother being blessed? Why is that sister getting all those things? Why is she like that? Hey, just be yourself. God bless you. Amen. So Paul says, this is what he found. "Whatever state, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased." No money. No money in the piggy bank. That's what he's saying. That's pretty low down. "I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need." "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Amen. Now that is a revelation. You know, brother and sister, you've got to realize I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Only God knows what I know, what things he's shown me. I've been in situations overseas. And, you know, sometimes they wanted me to get up and speak to a large audience, and all I wanted to do was hide because I was scared stiff. I was just a kid, really. I had no experience. And I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me and mightily blessed the meeting, mightily blessed the meeting. I'll tell you where that was. It was in Holland. I was feeling so inadequate. I couldn't even preach because I was so tired. Travel, totally exhausted. I mean, exhaustion, which is scary, makes you feel sick. I cried out to the Lord in the pastor's office there, and I said, "Lord, help me, save me, Lord. I cannot do this." And I went out there, when I walked into the church, similar size to this one actually, maybe a little wider, and I walked into that church, they were all singing in English. "I'll be with you. I will lift you up." tell you, brother and sister, believe me, I wanted to bawl my eyes out. I was so overcome. That was God speaking back. Who believes God was speaking back? Those people knew nothing about my prayer, but God knew what I'd prayed, and the song, I just could not believe the words of that song were so apt for my need. Just heal, when you're down, you feel you can't do it, he'll be with you. And he'll strengthen you. And the Spirit of God came down, and we had a glorious meeting through an interpreter and all. And eventually the interpreter, a dear brother I love, Brother Obed Smith, he's interpreting for me, speaks really good English. And I looked down, there he was on his knees crying out to God. In the middle of interpretation, you're so blessed. And the Spirit moved. The pastor came to the front crying out to God for mercy. At the end of that meeting, I looked through the door. They had a door with a round window in it. And I saw all the people hugging one another. Brothers hugging brothers, sisters, just weeping and crying. And the pastor said to me, "Brother, you'll never know the issues we've had in this church between people. But it's been a big, wonderful work of God today." That was the Lord Jesus. So when you feel down, you feel if you can't do it, he can help you and lift you up. So what causes us to become discontented? When we become overfull and contented to the point where godliness suffers in our life. A king's child is spoilt. As we used to say, he's a spoilt brat. Nothing can satisfy him. Why? He's got too much. He's been really spoiled, becomes hard to please. And though he has all, they cannot please him. So much food, they become picky and discontented. I tell you what, my family, Lee's my witness. We had a big family of 9, 11 in the family, brother, sat around our table. And if the food came onto the table, you didn't fuss with the food. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. When 11 hands go out, I remember my mother brought a whole plate of beautiful cooked scones, date scones. And she put them on the table. Where'd they all go? Everyone just had one. When you become picky, I don't want that, I don't like this, don't like that, you'll miss out. And so it is with the things of God. You've got to press in for the things of the Lord. Don't be picky. I want to be a preacher. Listen, just get close to God. He'll take care of the rest of it. Here's a scripture for us. Proverbs 27, verse 7. You talk about truth. The full soul. Somebody that's filled up. Loatheth a honeycomb. I don't want a honeycomb. I'm full. But to every hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Aren't they words of wisdom? You see, brothers and sisters, it's what condition you're in. You're hungry for God. You want to be there. You don't care whether there's 2 people at the prayer meeting or 200. You want to be there. Because you want to touch heaven. A hungry soul does that. The children of Israel, they had angels' food daily, free of charge, every day. But were they happy? We turn to Numbers 21, we'll find out. Verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You know what the light bread was? Angels' food. I'll read you from the Amplified Bible, which says, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. No wonder they never went across the promised land. God allowed them to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. And they never went in. You know, brothers and sisters, you've got to be really careful with your attitude. Let God speak to your heart. Say, I detest that preaching. Or whatever. I don't like that singing. That sister makes me nervous. You want to be very thankful you've got a sister to sing for you. I can say that safely because we're all good singers here. And brothers and sisters, we need to appreciate what we have. The day is coming when you won't have it. You'll be starving. The Bible says in the last day there'll be for a famine for the hearing of the word of God. You'll give anything to be in the house of God just to hear the word of God. You want it so much, it's burning in your heart. But we become spoiled. We have it all the time. We'll go to the internet. Just remember this. What we're talking about, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's so many things I could say. Never let us stoop to that position of detesting God's provision, being discontented. You know, this quote here says, you know, man hasn't changed very much. This is true. Man hasn't changed very much. He's still wandering about in the world, seeking pleasure, restless, never satisfied, never coming to any right conclusions, never finding rest. He's just about in the same condition that he was when he left God in the Garden of Eden and went out to shift for himself. And he's been shifting ever since. You know, brothers and sisters, I know this for a fact. If God gives you an opportunity, redeem the time. Make good use of what God is giving you. Redeem and say thank you. Bind the word of God about your neck and say thank you for this, Lord. Don't despise it. One day it'll be taken from you. It'll be too late then. If I could only have got the prayer meeting, I'd give anything to be there. Too late. You finished then. I'm not just talking about prayer meetings. I'm talking about anything. The church, services. To be in the presence of God where the word of God is speaking to your heart. You'll be amazed how many people get blessed of these services on the internet, Brother Bill. I'm serious about it. I quit telling you because I get embarrassed sometimes. But it means a lot to them. And if you could hear them, they'd be shouting, amen, Brother Howard. Some that got no church to go to. In Zambia. They love it. Brother Pastor Nelson and his church greatly appreciate this meeting and they will be hearing this service today. God bless you, Brother Nelson. And so we see they missed the opportunity. Israel became discontented with the prophets of God that he had sent to them. They wanted a king regardless. We don't want a prophet, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. Discontented, see, with what God gives. And they paid a price for it. God said, you can have a king. Go and get a king. When they got a king, all the young boys had to leave home, had to do training for the army. They had to go out in the battle and get killed. The children had to go into the palace to be servants. The great jealousies that took place. And the rest of it. Our discontentment will cost us dearly. Just remember this, brother and sister. I'm not prophesying, but I'm telling you it's the truth. The day could come where the privileges we experience today will be taken from us. Did you hear what I said? It's going to happen. The coming of the Lord is very near. And we must redeem the opportunity God has given to us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." What does falling rich? They fall into temptation. "For the love of money is the root of all evil," as we said, "which while some covet after have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows." How many good preachers have been used of God? Great evangelists. And God bless them. No question, God has blessed them. But in time, they became rich. And the crowds came and the money came. And the rest is history. And I'm not talking about anyone here. I mean, anyone around the world. It's warned us. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some men coveted after, they've erred from the faith." They got away from God, got away from the gospel, and pierced themselves through with many, many sorrows. In the world, it's grab and hold all you can get. In Christ, it is let go and let God have his wonderful way. Just let it go. Say, "Lord, I just want you. Don't want to try and work things out." Let us be content and settled in his grace, not running here and there. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation," and that word conversation can be interpreted, your life. "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Just give me Jesus. Just give me Christ. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You can have the world. You can have all the spirit of the world. You can take the lot. Just give me Christ. Just give me my song back. You keep your gold. We're a blessed people. Let us be contented in God. Some are not rested and content with God. They start looking for a whole lot of new things. "Oh, well, I'm going to get a new doctrine. I think we need a new doctrine. Oh, I think we need a new church." Or, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, they're not contented in the Lord. They're not in Christ. They're chasing everything else. He's not in those things. Our Lord is in you. Our contentment comes from within. You know, I found that when I went to Israel. I went to Israel. We had a crowd of people going with us in the buses. And we came up into the wall. You know, the big wall they have in right there in Jerusalem. The Wailing Wall, as they call it. Other names too. You know, and people went up there and they're putting their arms up onto the wall. And I'm not being critical, but they put their arms up onto the wall. Now, they want to get a blessing out of the wall. You can't get a blessing out of a rock. You need to get Christ in you. Amen. I tell you, I had nothing to do with it. Putting little letters and papers into the wall, God will bless them. And it might be all right for a Jew, but not for a Gentile. Christ is who we need.
Amen.
The Bible says God is not in temples made with hands. He was not in the Western Wall. He was not in the Garden of Gethsemane. I found out he was in me. I just want him to be in me. You won't get him in this church. He's not in this church. You might feel God's presence in this church, but you need to get him in you. One day this church will become dust. He was with me all the time. Our problems must be dealt with internally, not externally. Not holding a rock on the wall. It's got to be done internally. Jesus is offering to us and contentment through his wonderful grace at Calvary. He is our peace. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, when he died at Calvary, he took all your judgment, all your sin, and your sicknesses. I believe this. If you believe it, say amen. He took all our sicknesses, all our sin. You get rid of the sin, you get rid of your sickness. Because I connect it. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, 4, verse 9. First one, Nancy, would be 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
God cares for you this morning. He knows what you have need of. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're suffering this morning. He knows what you're going through. You know what? He cares. He cares about that. And if you look to him, casting that care on him, for he careth for you, he will help you. When we are rested, we are contented in God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Who believes that?
Amen.
Stand to your feet if you believe it. Let's just pray, brothers and sisters. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Lord Jesus, we come to thee, the heads and our hearts bowed before thee. When we know, Lord, that you are our satisfying portion, you are the one that gives joy and peace. Not all these other things, Lord. Some of them may look good, may be good. But Lord, we've got to keep our focus on thee. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all to cast all our care upon you. And Lord, that we'll have godliness with contentment this morning. May you bless every brother and every sister here. We love you, Lord, and we want more of you. I'm thirsty for the Holy Ghost. I am thirsty for a greater move of God in our midst, a greater breaking down, a greater repentance. Lord, you have to do this. We cannot manufacture a sad face and tears running down our cheeks. God, you have to do this. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring it to every brother and sister here and those joining with us, Lord. May you bless them, we pray. We commit it to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus for your glory. Amen. You believe he's never failed you? Let's sing it from our hearts. Anybody who'd like prayer, feel free to come. Brothers and sisters, this is not just words I've spoken. This is the truth of God's word. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Never fail me yet. Never fail me yet. Has never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, that wherever I may go, Jesus' love has never failed me. Let's sing from our hearts to God, from our hearts. Never failed. Anyone? I'd like prayer for you. Free to come.
The end, Jesus comes. The end. This one thing I know, that wherever I may go, Jesus' love has never failed.
Brother, sister, why God laid this message on my heart? Do you want to know why? Because He knew you'd be here. And this word is for you, and it's for me, and it's for everybody who'd be listening around the world. This word is for the you. Don't let it go past you. It's not my words, it's His words. And then you say, Lord, I want this. I want to have this contentment in my heart with godliness. Oh, let it be, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's sing it again. Never fail me yet. Before we sing Mercy Rewrote My Life, you know, the Lord knows that we'll be happier if we come into Him. He wants to make us happy. You want to be happy. And He knows that we will be happy if we go His way. That's all we've got to rest. And what He says, that's it. Mercy Rewrote My Life.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life.
We love you, Lord Jesus. We know that you know the best way for us to be is in Christ. You know that we'll be happiest and how miserable we would be without Christ. And it's getting worse because we don't let Christ have His way. And His way, your way, Lord, is the best way. Help us to understand that, Lord. For people that may be listening, wherever they are, India, Africa, Australia, America, Ireland, wherever. Touch them, Lord. It's the same God, the one that died for us, the one that showed mercy to us, took our sins, all of them, every sin, not just those that we've had in today, but sins for tomorrow. You covered us all, Lord, in every way, and we're so very, very grateful. Help those, Lord, that are struggling to understand. Help them to just give over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will know the benefit of being happy is knowing Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the food and the fellowship we're about to have next door in a moment. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the service 1 o'clock this afternoon. Be with us, Lord, at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night as usual. And bless all those that are listening at their time of listening, because God loves you too. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.